Have you ever just been downright angry? And you know what? Somebody's trying to talk you maybe out of that anger. And all of a sudden, you start to look at things and you begin to say, you know what? I have the right to be angry. We try to justify that anger in certain ways. And we will sit back and say, well, this is what took place. And if you knew what all happened, you would know and understand that I have the right to be angry about this. Maybe you did. So I want you to hold on to that thought for just a few moments, because over the next probably 2 months, we're going to be looking at transforming turmoil, because turmoil is something that each and every one of us has in our lives almost on a daily basis, if not every day. Period. I mean, there are certain things that are going to come up. So we're going to take a look at these things, and we're going to see what the Bible says about how we can handle those. So today we're going to look at anger. So grab your Bible, turn it to Ephesians chapter 4. Come on back. I'll see you in just a moment. Hey folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that all is well with you and God is blessing in an incredible way. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're beginning a new series today, and that new series is called Transforming Turmoil. If you wanted to put a subtitle to it, you could also call it Finding Peace in the Storm, because these are things that we're going to talk about that happen to each and every one of us as we go about our journey, our spiritual journey on this earth. And it's going to be how we handle them that either speaks to who our God is, or it speaks to who the world is within us. Now, a little while ago, I talked about anger. Have you ever been just so angry, and you really feel like your actions, your words, or whatever it may be, are justified? And I said earlier, maybe they are, because there's something I want us to look at today when we consider this. So we're going to address at least the first universal human emotion of anger. All of us have that. We all, you know, at some point get angry about something. Sometimes things trigger us quicker than others. Sometimes they can be little things, and sometimes they can be big things. But we want to take a look at what the Bible teaches us about it, specifically through the lens of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Now, understanding anger not only helps us to be able to manage it in our lives, but it also aligns our hearts more closely with who God is. All right, so look with me, if you would, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 26 and 27. Says this. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we do so asking that you would truly speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that for these moments that we'll spend together, that you and you alone would truly be the one that would be high and lifted up. Lord, help us to take an honest look at what the Holy Spirit says to us today. And Lord, I pray that if we have these issues with anger, that we would truly be able to seek your word. Lord, that we would rely upon the leadership of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Father, to be able to help us to manage what's going on in our hearts and lives in a way that's going to magnify you. So bless our time, Lord. Bless me as your messenger for these moments. And Lord, I just pray you would truly be high and lifted up as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks. So when we look at this particular passage, we need to understand that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians during a time when he was imprisoned in Rome. Now, this letter served to instruct and to encourage the church at Ephesus, as well as the broader Christian community. All right, this was a letter to encourage them. Now, in chapter 4, Paul emphasizes unity in the body of Christ and living a life that is worthy of the calling that we have received. Then we get down to verses 26 and 27 that specifically address how believers should manage anger, indicating that it has a potential to disrupt our peace and our relationship with God. So that's something that we need to understand. Too often we try to justify anger to the point where we say it's our spiritual gift to be angry. Well, no, it is something that can interfere. Now, y'all have to understand, when I say our relationship with God, I'm not talking about a potential loss of salvation or anything like that. If you've trusted Christ, then you are on your way to heaven. He's not taking that back from you. But what happens is often we can break our fellowship with the Lord when we walk in a way that's not pleasing to Him, or when we walk in sin. So this is something, anger is something that truly can affect that. So as we look at the command that we find in our scripture text today, the command says, be angry and do not sin. Now that one a lot of times catches people off guard because they're sitting back thinking, oh, well, you know, it's a sin to be angry. Not according to the Word of God. It says, be angry and do not sin. Now Paul acknowledges that anger itself is not inherently sinful. This distinction points us toward the concept known as righteous anger. Some of you have heard that before. Some of you have maybe have even used that term. And you've sat back and said, yes, you're right, I'm angry, but this is righteous anger, or I have the right to be angry. So let's define that for just a moment for the sake of our conversation today. When we talk about righteous anger, what are we talking about? We're talking about an emotion that arises in response to injustice or unrighteousness. In other words, somebody is doing something that is incorrect, that's not right, or it is unjust. When I think about this particular passage, I think about where it says that Jesus overturned the tables of the money changers at the temple. Now that was a righteous thing to do. He had a righteous anger in that regard. So remember, righteous anger means an emotion that arises in response to injustice or unrighteousness. Now Paul quickly follows this with a caution. Okay, don't miss out on that. The caution that he follows up with is, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. And he says, nor give place to the devil. Now, holding on to anger can provide the devil an opportunity to influence us in an extremely negative way. Some of us that are listening to this this broadcast today, you're sitting back and you say, yeah, I know. I've had that happen to me before. I have been overtaken by anger. I have acted in ways that I should not have acted. And what I did was I allowed the devil to have an opportunity to influence me in a negative way. Often that is what happens when somebody has a problem, a real problem with anger. They allow the anger to give the devil a foothold in their lives, okay? So he's telling us, don't hold on to anger that can provide the devil an opportunity to influence negatively. This is something that can transform potentially righteous anger into sin or even cause division among God's people. And that's obviously not what we want. Sometimes we cross a line. Sometimes our anger starts off as righteous anger, but then it translates into something far worse than that. We've given the devil that foothold. So let's consider the theological significance of this passage today. This passage suggests that while anger is an expected human emotion, it must be managed very carefully in your life and in my life, okay? Righteous anger reflects God's own displeasure with sin and wrong. And that doesn't sound bad at all, does it? Let me give that to you again. Righteous anger reflects God's own displeasure with sin and wrong. But it should always, always, always be coupled with grace, forgiveness, and love. That's the way we should act and react today. It's tough in this day and age because nowadays when when you are not in favor of what somebody is doing or something takes place, you can have a righteous anger, but often they don't look at that anger as a righteous anger. Sometimes because we are not presenting ourselves in the biblical way that we learn from God's word. Sometimes when we maybe go toward that person, we're not going toward them with grace. We're not going toward them with forgiveness, and we're not going toward them with love. And then sometimes what happens is they just completely cut us off from there. Often you'll get cut off before you even get there in this cancel culture society. So this is something that we need to think about. Now let me just backpedal so we don't miss this point. Righteous anger reflects God's own displeasure with sin and wrong. But it should always, always, always be coupled with grace, forgiveness, and love. You see, the call to not let the sun go down on our wrath highlights the urgency of resolving this emotion and these emotions that can separate us from God's peace. I didn't say from God's love. I said from God's peace. Remember, we can mess up our fellowship with God, but if we're a born-again believer, we're not going to mess up our relationship with Him. You know, we are born again. His DNA runs within our veins, okay? The problem with anger is that unchecked anger can evolve into bitterness, and that bitterness can lead us down a path that is incredibly contrary to what God's will is. You know, sometimes people have used different ways to illustrate anger before. They've said, well, I tell you, I was so mad I saw red. Okay, that meant that all of a sudden it didn't go, it didn't go as it should have gone. It wasn't a righteous anger. It turned into that sort of anger that gave the devil the foothold. It turned into that anger that could separate us separate us from the peace of God, not from God, but from the peace of God. So all of us at times have anger. So I want you to consider today, as the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, what kind of anger do you display? Is it a righteous anger or is it a sinful type of anger? What are the things that we need to do? How is it that we can take today's scripture and apply it to our lives, specifically when it comes down to anger? Well, I want to give you a couple of steps. You know what they say, any good preachers will give you a couple of steps. It's got some numbers attached to them. So number one, here's one of the things that we need to do. Number one is self-examination. All right, before acting on anger that has arisen in your heart, pause and reflect on its roots. What is it that's causing that anger? Is it righteous? Is it driven by some sort of injustice or unrighteousness that is taking place or that is happening? Or is it stemming from a personal grievance or pride that you may have in your life? That's a very, very good litmus test. When you stop and you examine yourself before you make any sort of action, before you say any kind of words towards somebody that are dealing with this particular situation, ask yourself, what is the root of my anger? Is it because there was that injustice towards somebody or something? Is it because there was something that was unrighteous that was being done? Remember what we call that? We call that righteous anger, all right? Or was it an unrighteous anger, meaning that it was the root of that problem was stemming from a personal grievance that you had with somebody, or just the fact that you didn't like them at all, or maybe it was pride in your heart or in your life. Whatever it is, you need to take a self-examination. This is called looking before you leap. What is the root of this particular anger that's going on in your life? Okay, number two, reconciliation. We need to address these issues immediately. You don't let them go. Do not allow anger to linger in your life, because when it does, it causes further division or it causes sin along the way. We need to seek resolution with those who are involved, and we need to embody Christ's love and Christ's forgiveness. The Lord tells us that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. So you can see there's a lot of nuts and bolts when it comes down to this situation of anger. You know, the key thing is to determine, is it righteous anger or is it unrighteous anger? How do we go forward when it comes to those sort of things? Well, we mentioned just a moment ago, first of all, you determine that through self-examination. That's number one. Number two, reconciliation. You want to address the issues immediately. Do not allow them to fester. Do not allow them to become greater than what they are. Because I will say this, and most of us know this, Satan is really good about whispering in your ear and making things so much worse than they are. Because have you ever noticed that when you're angry about something, the more you think about it, the angrier you get? That's because Satan's in there trying to fuel that fire. Well, I'll tell you one thing. I can't believe he said that about you. I can't believe he did this, or I can't believe she did that. Well, you know, if they really liked you, they wouldn't do this. And think about all the things you've done for them. Satan loves to do that. Let's not give him that particular foothold in our life, particularly in the area of anger. So remember, number one, self-examination, determine the root. Number two, reconciliation. Do not sit on the issues. Deal with them immediately. Number three is prayer and surrender. Okay? Bring your emotions before God. Pray for wisdom. Pray for strength to manage anger in a righteous manner. Okay? We need to surrender our hurts. We need to surrender the personal side of this to Him, trusting in His just and perfect ways of dealing with the anger that is in our life. You know, a lot of times, I like that expression, talking somebody off of a ledge. God's really, really good at that. If you go to Him with honesty and with sincerity, and you may even be venting. I'll be honest with you. I vent when it comes to things like that. I will go to the Lord and try to justify. This is what we do. We try to justify our anger. And we go to the Lord and we say, well, Lord, you know what he did or you know what she did. And Lord, you know I have the right to be angry with them. And it's just blah, blah, blah. You just keep on going and going and going. And I think the Lord lets us vent in that particular way. And then we need to stop and pause and shut our mouths long enough to listen to what it is that God has to say to him. We can bring those emotions to God. That's what he expects us to do. We can pray for wisdom. We can pray for strength to manage that anger in a righteous manner as we surrender where our hurts and our heart are to him, trusting in his just and perfect ways. Because there's been a lot of times when I've gotten done venting towards God, it's almost been like, well, are you done now? Okay, this is you have just given me facts, but let me give you facts. And the Lord says, hey, here's what I require you to do. I don't suggest that you love your enemies. I demand that you love your enemies. I don't suggest that you forgive. I command that you forgive. And all of a sudden, everything becomes in a different light and it becomes in a different perspective. And often, God will show us whether our anger is a righteous anger or an unrighteous anger. Most of the time, it turns out to be an unrighteous anger, which means we don't have the right to try to hold on to it. You know, again, these are things that should drive it. Righteous anger should drive us to some sort of an action. Remember, righteous anger deals with the fact that there is some injustice that is taking place or some, you know, biblical issue that is going on. And it should move us to action. What action will you take? Whatever action you take needs to be done so, you know, in love and humility and being a good representative of Christ along the way, okay? So remember, first of all, examine yourself. You know, what is the root cause of the anger? Is it righteous? Is it unrighteous? Number two, reconciliation. We need to address the issues immediately and not allow them to fester. Number three, we need to pray and we need to surrender to Him. We need to ask the Lord to help us in that issue and we need to trust Him. We need to hand everything over to Him. And then number four, I just call this community and accountability. You know, often you hear me talk about community. You've seen that in my writings and my daily devotions and so many other things. Community is our church. That's our church family. That's the community that we do life with. So when you think about community and accountability, we need to engage with fellow believers, okay? There's strength in numbers. We do so much better when somebody who has that we are like-minded with, like-minded believers are there. I hope and pray that maybe there's been a time when you've gone to a fellow believer and maybe you have vented toward that fellow believer. Maybe you've been angry with somebody and they finally said to you, they're like, hey, look, man, you know, you're going way overboard with this. Let's look at what the Bible has to say about it. Let's look at what God says in the way that we're supposed to handle these things. And they've talked you off that ledge. There's strength in numbers. So when I say community, I am talking about church. So let's talk about community and accountability. We always do better when we know somebody is watching. Share the situation with those in your community. Seek guidance. Foster a supportive environment that encourages peaceful and godly responses to anger. Listen, we can always go out, and we tend to do this. We'll go out and we will try to find somebody who's going to back our play. You know, we'll go to somebody and say, let me tell you what so-and-so did. And then you explain that to them, and they're like, I am just fuming mad. I have the right to be mad, don't I? And they sit back and go, oh, yeah, you've got the total right to be angry. And that just fuels the fire. You need people in your life that are going to be honest with you, not only honest with you, but honest with you about doing things in a biblical manner. Not the freelance, I'm going to do it my way, or I'm going to follow what Satan is saying way. In the way that the Word tells us that we should do it. So community and accountability is incredibly important. Engage with fellow believers. Listen, everybody has somebody that you know and that you trust and that you look at their life and you say, man, I'll tell you one thing, I wish my walk was like his walk. I wish my walk was like her walk. I wish that I could handle situations like they do. And you know that they are a good source of biblical accountability. Those are the people that you need to seek when it comes to questions like this or dealing with certain circumstances and situations, particularly when it comes down to anger. So those are the four things. Those are your four litmus tests when it comes down to managing anger in your life. Let me run through them one more time. Self-examination. Find out what the root of that anger is. Then determine, is it righteous anger or is it unrighteous anger? Second, reconciliation. Address the issues immediately. Don't let that linger in your life. Number three, prayer and surrender. Bring all of it before God. Pray for wisdom. Ask the Lord to help you. Hand the circumstances and situations and the hurts over to Him, trusting that His ways are perfect ways and His resolution is going to be exactly what you need. And then number four, community and accountability. Engage with fellow believers. This is incredibly important for us to be able to do life together and to encourage one another and to strengthen one another. The Word tells us iron sharpens iron. That's why it is incredibly important for you to be an active part of a body of Bible-believing believers. People that you can do life with, people that you can take these things to that are not going to give you worldly answers, but they're going to give you godly answers, okay? So as we look at what the Scripture tells us over here in the book of Ephesians about anger, understanding anger through the lens of Scripture enables us to grow spiritually and to maintain our focus on God's peace. That's what we really want. We want God's peace. Righteous anger may inspire us to action, while unrighteous anger can lead us away from God's intentions in our lives. You've got to identify that. You've got to understand it, and then you have to put them in their proper locations, okay? Hopefully, we will learn to manage our emotions in a way that glorifies God, and it brings unity among us. And that is my prayer for you. You know, particularly as we start off this series of dealing with turmoil, all of us have turmoil. So I hope and trust and pray that each of us will be handling those things in a biblical way. We're going to look at some more things as we go forward. But let me close our time in prayer, and then I'll tell you about what we're going to be looking at next week as we come together for the Wednesday Bible study. Let's pray. Father, as we come to you, we want to thank you for your Word that guides us. Lord, for your Word that instructs us. Father, I pray that you will help us to understand and manage our anger in a righteous manner. May we not allow anger to lead us into sin or to create distance between us and your peace. Lord, I pray that you will fill us with your Spirit, that we may embody Christ's love and his forgiveness. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, listen, thank you again for joining us today. I'm going to go ahead and tell you what we're going to be looking at for this week, and I pray that you'll spend a little bit of time in God's Word as we continue our look. Remember, today we just started a new series. The series is called Transforming Turmoil or Finding Peace in the Midst of the Storm. And today we talked about anger understanding anger out of Ephesians chapter 4. So this coming week, I want you to spend some time in the book of James, particularly chapter 1, because next week what we're going to look at is the root of frustration. I know we use that term a lot. Yeah, we've sat back and said, I'll tell you one thing, I sure am frustrated. Well, we want to look at the root of frustration. We want to identify, you know, the sources of frustration in our lives and how we can respond with patience and with understanding. Okay, that's what we really need to do. We want to explore the role of expectations as well as communication. Big deal right there. So be round up in James chapter 1, and we will look forward to gathering together next week to look at the root of frustrations as we look at the second week in our new series, Transforming Turmoil, Finding Peace in the Storm. As always, I want to invite you, if you don't have a church home or if you happen to be in the Oak Ridge, North Carolina area, come on by and visit us on Sunday. Worship with us in spirit and in truth. Our Sunday services begin at 10:45 a.m. There are all kinds of activities for discipleship throughout the week. There are women's groups, men's groups. We have Awana for the children. We've got all kinds of different ways that you can draw closer to the Lord, and we certainly would love to see you with us at Central Baptist Church. Until then, God bless. Have a great week. I hope to see you this coming Sunday.